How long can I keep your individual attention this morning? 10 minutes, 5 minutes, 60 seconds, 6 seconds? How long can you concentrate in what I'm going to say without being distracted by something else? According to my college psychology professor, the average person can only concentrate for 6 seconds, and then his or her mind will think of something else. All of us here this morning are above average, so maybe I can keep your attention for 10 seconds. This is why teachers are taught to do different things, such as have you take notes, give you an outline, write it on the board, raise their voice, throw things, all so that you'll pay attention and try to get the thoughts that they are pressing forward. I'm here this morning to maybe say something new or remind you about something you have forgot, but you will not catch all of my lessons. What will you think about during my talk? What I'm going to have for lunch? What am I going to do today? Sure, it would be nice to drive a new car. Buying or building a new house. Taxes, bills, repairs, work, clothes, etc. You are all going to think of something else during my talk. Not keeping someone's attention is not always the fault of the audience, but is also the fault of the teacher or the speaker. I like some teachers and speakers better than others, and I pay attention better no matter what the subject, those teachers I like. But no teacher or speaker will have your undivided attention. What this lack of attention is called is daydreaming, or if your eyes are shut, as I have been seeing sometimes in the audience, it's just dreaming. My subject this morning is dreaming. There are two types of dreams, the ones you have when you're awake and your mind wanders, which is what we've been talking about, and the ones you have when you are asleep. First of all, I would like to read a scripture that inspired this talk this morning, and that is found in Revelation 21, 10 through 27. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of the heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone pure as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord of God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb to the light that is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I heard a lesson on this about a month ago. And as I heard it, and you listen to those words, the only way that you can picture it is in your mind. So I think the narrative here gives us the most precious things that we can think of to picture in our mind what our goal today is to try and make it to heaven, to be part of that city. Have you thought what it would be like without the ability to dream, without the ability to think about things that you may not be able to have, but you can dream about? I love to dream. I've always been a daydreamer. And if my teachers in high school and college were alive, they would tell you I was the best at that, is daydreaming in their class. We find that dreams are very important to God in the Bible. God uses them several times to communicate his wishes to several individuals of the Bible. First, let's start in the Old Testament. Turn to Genesis 20, 2 through 8. And Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, "She is my sister." And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, 'She is my sister,' and she herself said, 'He is my brother. In the integrity of my heart and in innocency of my hands have I done this.' And God said unto him in a dream, 'Yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine.' Therefore Abimelech rose early in the morning and called his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid." We find that Abraham said to the king about Sarah being his sister. Spoke to King Abimelech in a dream to tell him to give Abraham back his wife, or he would perish. Also, I'd like to turn to Genesis 28, 10 through 16. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angel of God ascended and descended on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, "I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. In thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto the land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I know it not." So here God speaks to Jacob, and he tells him his future, and he tells him that he's going to populate the world. We also find an example of Solomon talking to God in a dream in 1 Kings 3, 5 through 15. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness, and an uprighteous of heart with thee, and thou hast kept him from this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on the throne, and it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen a great people, that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, as Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to the words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which has not you have not asked, but riches, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and offered peace offerings and made a feast to all his servants. Solomon asked for the right things. Solomon had wisdom, even in his prayer, to ask for the ability to be a good king. And he asked and spoke to God in a dream. Now let's look at some dreams in the New Testament, which is our salvation. Let's turn to Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When at his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took him unto his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So without the dream, without the angel talking to Joseph, Joseph was ready to complicate everything and to put her away. But he was told in a dream exactly what was going on. And he understood what was happening and made all the right decisions. We also find another dream in Matthew 2, 7 through 15. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I might come and worship him also. Then they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring the word, for Herod will seek the young child and destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that I might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord of the prophets, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. The wise men were told in a dream not to return to Herod, and Joseph was told in a dream in the same scriptures to flee to Egypt until Herod had died. We find another dream in Matthew 27, verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Pilate's wife warns him to have nothing to do with Jesus and to get as far away from him as he can because she's having dreams, bad dreams of what is going to happen if he doesn't. So, and last of all, the last dream I'd like to talk about is in Acts 10, 9 through 16. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh into the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he came very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and certain vessels descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at all the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath clean, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Peter has a dream about everything that God creates is good, which include the Gentiles. He had everything that had been taught from his childhood dashed in a dream. And it took God three times to convince him that everything was clean and every person was the same in God's sight. And this was all taken care of a dream. Altogether, the word dream appears in the Bible 61 times. And it only appears in the New Testament six times because God and his son had his son on earth to talk to us directly. So he didn't need dreams in the New Testament. As you can see by these examples, how important dreams were to God and how often he utilized them in talking to mankind. Remember, all we can do is dream about God's plan and the way the future will be. We don't have prophets or miracles. We have to have faith. There is one dream that we all have in common, and we would not be here this morning, which is to have a home in heaven with God. So if you think back on my first verses that I read and think how beautiful heaven will be, that is our dream. If we think about the ability to talk to Christ and to ask him the questions that we have on this earthly life, I don't think we'll have any questions. I think we'll fully understand everything when that time comes. But I have questions today that I would like to ask him. I only dream of being back when he was alive, that you could ask him questions. I envy those people that were back in those times. With that in mind, I would like to offer the gospel invitation to anyone that wants to be part of Christ's kingdom, or if you have something that you would like to bring forward for the congregation, come forward as we stand and sing.